groups and even frontier people groups. It's related to today's sermon. We've been going through a sermon series called The Greatest Investment. And we've been talking about how the greatest investment is what God is invested in. And God is invested in his own glory. And the way that he brings about glory unto himself is by continually doing the work of restoring people to himself. And the way that he does that is by sending his people out to share the gospel with others out there. Now, as we think about the world today, there's a lot that's going on in this world. And maybe some of you guys are also affected, maybe filled with a little bit of anxiousness or fear, especially because of what's going on in the Ukraine, and just wondering, you know, how might that affect Taiwan and our life here? It may really cause a person to think, what is this world coming to? We've been dealing with COVID. We've been dealing with financial difficulty. There's the economic downturn. There's war that's happening. There's a lot of talk about what this might turn into, the war. So what is this world coming to? Today, I'm going to do something a little bit different. We're coming to our last sermon of this series, and I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm not going to just explain a passage, but what I want to do is I want to look to the Bible and share with you guys a bunch of passages that really affected my life, and I wanted to share a little bit about my story. And so today's sermon is going to be more in the form of me telling my own story, but as I do share with you guys, I hope that you guys would also begin to connect the dots of how does this relate to my life? And so even though I'm talking about me, perhaps you can also be thinking about, you know, what, how is God speaking to me through this sermon? I want to share how through God's word, my heart's cry has become Maranatha. And the meaning of Maranatha is, our Lord, come. Come quickly, Lord. Our Lord, come. And we're going to be looking at today's passage, which is Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, just one verse. I'm going to be reading off a lot of Bible passages today, so don't worry about trying to get all the different verses. What I may do this week is I may try to send out a PowerPoint to everyone that's in our line group with all of these verses. And so don't worry about trying to get down all the verses that I'm going to share with you guys. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 is the reading of God's word. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Our main idea for today is, may your kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus. And my hope is that this will be your heart's cry, as it has become my heart's cry. The three points are the announcement of the kingdom, the attack of the kingdom, and number three, the advancement of the kingdom. So again, the main idea is, may your kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus. And the three points are the announcement of the kingdom, the attack of the kingdom, and the advancement of the kingdom. Let's first talk about the announcement of the kingdom. How many of you guys have heard of something called a dot matrix printer? How many of you guys heard of that? It's this really old version of a printer. And it would make this really obnoxious sound as it printed things. And the interesting thing about that printer, though, is that it would come, you would have to buy a stack of paper that were all connected to each other, and they would have these dots on the side of the paper so that you could feed it into the printer. Well, when I was younger, I used to, both my dad and I, we used to make these banners, because you could print out these big letters on multiple sheets of paper, and you can make banners. And there's one time that I was having my own Bible study or my own quiet time, my own devotion time in high school, in secondary school, and I came across this verse. And I thought it was just one of the most amazing verses. And so I made a banner out of it, and I put it on my wall. And the verse was this, Matthew 24, verses 12 to 13. And because lawlessness will be increased, And here Jesus is talking about the end times, what the end will be like. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Because of this passage, I just thought, man, people's love is growing cold. People's love is growing cold, and I need to do something about it. I don't want my love to grow cold. I want to make sure that I focus on my love for God, and also I want to focus on loving God's people. And so I really focused during that time when I was in secondary school and high school. I really focused on the people in the church, trying to encourage them and to pray for them. And we got together, and just even as a small kid, a student, I wanted to gather people together and pray together so that we can love each other, so that our love wouldn't grow cold. But you know, the strange thing is that I never kept reading. I just focused on this verse, and I had this verse on my wall, but I never kept reading what came after this verse. What came after was this verse, today's passage. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I just want to say before we move on that it's an important thing that we look at certain passages, all passages in Scripture, and look at the context, not just look at that one verse, but look at what's being talked about in the context. So I came upon verse 24 for the first time when I went into college, when I went into university. And during that time, I was introduced by my campus ministry, this verse. This verse was introduced to me, and I thought, wow, I never kept reading. But this verse is extremely important, and it has to do with mission work. It has to do with cross-cultural work, seeing people going out to the nations. And that word nations can be translated, not necessarily nations, but you can understand this idea as people groups, just the way that we saw in the video. And so as I looked at this verse and I was thinking about this verse, it really gave me a heart, not just this verse alone, but as I studied God's word and as I went through this campus ministry, as I experienced short-term missions, God started to give me this heart for missions and to want to be involved in cross-cultural ministry. I began to discover that my life was not just about me. It's not just about my studies, not just about my career. It wasn't just about looking for my future wife, having romantic experiences, or developing my hobbies. Life was not about trying to just get through the next day of work or keeping the same pattern to live life in a hamster wheel. Life was so much more than just me. Life was about the announcement of the kingdom of God. It was about proclaiming that the kingdom of God is here and that it's coming. You see, the scriptures pointed me to understand that my life is not about me. God saved me for his own glory. And I came upon this verse that showed me this idea that my life was not just about me, but it's for God's glory. It says in Isaiah, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake," God says, "for my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." And so I began to understand that my life was not just about me, but actually my life needs to be about something greater. It has to be about God's glory, because God himself has said that he's doing a work to save me. He has finished the work to save me, but he did it not for me, but he did it for his own glory. And so God saved me for his own glory, that his kingdom, his gospel would be made known throughout the world. It's all about what God was doing, not what I was doing. It was about what God was doing in my life, and not only that, what God was doing in other people's lives. And so again, the scriptures helped me to take my eyes off of myself and to look to God and his investment. And when I looked to God, God directed me to take my eyes off of me, to put it on Him, and then to put my eyes on other people in the world, to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to them. Just as Jesus has said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So my heart grew for this. I want to go. I want to make disciples. I want to go to another country and do this work for the Lord. But you know what? There were a lot of difficulties along the way. There are a lot of challenges that I faced. And we come to our second point, the attack of the kingdom. Because of all these challenges that I faced, I felt like there was an attack that was going on. You know, I felt that God was saying, I felt what I wanted to say to God was, God, I want to live for you to announce your kingdom. But there are all these attacks against me. Maybe not attacks, but maybe I feel like I don't have everything that I've wanted. Like, I had still a lot of questions. For example, when will I get married? This was a question that I had many, many years ago when I was still single. When will I get married? Because there's a passage that talks about, you know, if you're burning with passion, then it's probably better for you to get married. God, I'm burning with passion, and I do feel I should get married. So, God, when am I going to get married? Or another thought that I had was, when I try to serve other people in the church, but then there are people that end up attacking me and saying nasty things about me. But I kept thinking they're the ones that were wrong. You know, this is not right. This is not fair. It makes me jaded. It makes me feel like things just aren't right. Or I want to do well at work. Before I became a pastor, I was working in the tech industry. I want to do well at work. Even now, I want to do well at work, but sometimes I feel overwhelmed and I just want to rest. I want to escape. I want to go on vacation. Or I want to do well and serve you, God. But why is it that sometimes it feels like things just aren't working out? Is it because, God, I'm doing something wrong? Am I not good enough? Are you not choosing to use me? Is it because I keep falling into that sin that I just can't stop? These were my thoughts many, many years ago. And I remember being encouraged by this verse. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. But I just kept thinking, but you know what? I know this is true, but it's still so hard. I forgot to put this one verse in, but there's a verse that I discovered in James chapter 4, verse 1. It says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? I began to think, why am I struggling with this idea of wanting to get married or wanting to succeed at work or wanting acceptance from other people? Why am I struggling with all these things? Well, it's because there's this desire that's in my heart. There's this passion that I'm wanting, and I'm trying to get that thing, and I'm not finding my satisfaction and my comfort and my joy in the Lord. And I'm reminded over and over again that actually, though I say with my mouth that I'm living for God's glory, actually, I'm living for my own glory. I don't want to do things God's way. I want to wait because there are these issues that I'm still struggling with. And I'm hoping that I can get these things before I go and serve God. Instead of living for God's glory, I actually ended up living for my own glory. I have these passions deep inside my heart that are driving me and not God's glory. God's glory is not what's driving me. What He's invested in is not what's driving me. There are these other things that drive me. Like, I really want to have people acknowledge that I'm a good worker. I really want to see my wife right now, even now these days, I want her to see that I'm a good husband. And she says that I am, but sometimes I feel like I'm not. There are times that I want to be successful in being a good pastor. These are the passions that drive me rather than seeking God's glory. They drive me to seek a better reputation and experience of acceptance from people rather than the reputation that God gives to me and receiving His acceptance. These passions, they drive me to want to escape work or family and find rest in a vacation or in my little dumb phone games rather than finding rest in God. They drive me to want to find success in my work, in my ministry, rather than trusting that God is succeeding in His work through me, though it may not seem so in my eyes. And I'm made to realize over and over again, yes, there is a spiritual battle that's going on. And yes, Satan is attacking the kingdom, but so am I. I'm the one that's attacking the kingdom. I'm the one not wanting to do things for God's kingdom and His glory, and I end up doing things for my own kingdom. It's my kingdom versus God's kingdom. But the passage today reminds us that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed as a testimony to all nations all around the world. And that encourages me because I know that this gospel that's being proclaimed, the gospel of the kingdom, is not just for people out there, but this gospel is also for me. What is that gospel of the kingdom? It's that Jesus lived and died so that I may die with Him and live with Him. When I attacked the kingdom, when I was the one not living for God's glory but my own glory, I should have been attacked by God. I should have been the one punished. But what does the Bible say? But God shows His love for us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus was attacked. He was punished. Not for anything that He did, but because of what we did. He became our sacrifice. He died that I may be accepted and loved by God. He died that I may find joy of finding rest in Him. He died that I may enter into a kingdom where He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Jesus did this so that I can have access to this wonderful kingdom. And so I cry out, Lord, I know I keep sinning against You. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? It's not just the concerns that I had in the past. I still have some of these concerns, these passions that drive me at times. Who will save me from this body of death? And the answer that comes right after in the book of Romans is, it's Jesus Christ that will save me. There's no more condemnation that's left for me because of how he sacrificed himself for us. I know that you have saved me, Lord. I know that you have sacrificed yourself for me and you showed your love to me in this way. So thank you. And please come quickly, Lord. I look forward to that day when I can get into the heaven and into the kingdom of God and to experience that perfect place where there's no more sin or pain or sorrow or death. I look forward to that day. Lord, I'm crying out and I'm asking if I could be with you in heaven and in your kingdom. And perhaps if you are a Christian, you may have also experienced something similar to me, where your heart cries out also, Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we want to see people come to know and experience how wonderful it is to be a part of your kingdom. And so we want to see your kingdom come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And Jesus says to us in the book of Revelation, and this is one of the last verses found in the book of Revelation. Jesus says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. In the book of Revelation, John replies, amen, come Lord Jesus. And that's our heart's cry also. If you are a Christian, this is our heart's cry. As we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us, as we look forward to that kingdom that we will be a part of, we say, come Lord Jesus, Maranatha, our Lord, come. But then as I begin to think about that, this verse begins to echo in my ear. Again, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And so I see there's a connection between me crying out to the Lord saying, come Lord Jesus, with this idea of the gospel going forth to all nations. There's a connection here. It says, when this gospel goes out to the as a testimony to all nations, when this gospel goes out to the whole world, then the end will come. That's when Jesus Christ will return. But the question is, with all the video that we saw and with all the people that still need to hear about Jesus Christ, the question is, how then will those people, will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So Jesus asks of you, even on this day, saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Our triune God is speaking to you today through his word, just as in the same way that God spoke to me through his word, asking this question, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? My answer, like Isaiah, was, here I am. I'm willing to give up everything in my life because you gave up everything for me. Send me, Lord. I want to see your kingdom advance, God. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see the gospel of the kingdom spread throughout the nations. I want to see it advance to the nations. And so we come to our third point, the advancement of the kingdom. Jesus continues to lead me. I'm not perfect. I haven't conquered all those passions. I haven't. I still struggle with temptation. But Jesus continues to lead me. And if you are a Christian, Jesus continues to lead you to take our eyes off of ourselves and to turn to Jesus. Just like it says in Hebrews, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And if we do this, if we continue to look to Jesus and go to the nations, it will cause us, as we look to Jesus, he will guide us to look to the nations, on the peoples of the world, to want to see those people also come into the kingdom, to also want to see those people experience what I experience as a Christian, this wonderful relationship with God. I want to close with a story about one of the reasons why I decided to come to this side of the world. Many years ago, I was on a mission trip to China, and I joined a group of people to lead an English camp for some elementary age children. Now, during that time, there was one student that would come around with her little group of friends, and she was probably around fourth or fifth grade, maybe about 9 or 10 years old, and she would always say hi to me. She would say, "Hi, Peter." And I'd say, "Hi." Her name was Annie. "Hi, Annie." And the camp was about a week long, but every day, multiple times in the day, this little girl, Annie, would come up to me and say, "Hi, Peter." And I would say, "Hi, Annie." Well, during that time, the missionary that set up this English camp for us, he said that it was a very sensitive time. And he said that he couldn't stay with us during this English camp because he was actually on the run from the police. And so what he would do is that he wouldn't stay with us at the camp, but he would kind of pop his head in the door every once in a while and say, "You guys okay? You guys okay? Okay, good." And then he would leave. Well, because it was a sensitive time, before the English camp started, he told us, "You know, it is a sensitive time. And so I want to ask you guys just to do your best to be English teachers. And I know you want to share the gospel, but please don't share the gospel. Just show God's love to them. Just demonstrate God's love to them. And let's look to the Lord that the Lord would do something in their hearts afterwards." And so that's what we decided to do. And so when this little girl, Annie, would come up to me and say hi, I would say, "Hi, Annie." And I would say a prayer at the same time, "Lord, please let this girl come to know you." The team that I was with, we prayed for all the students on a daily basis. And the last day of the camp came, and we all stood in a big circle, and we all sang a song together. And just like maybe some of you guys have experienced these English camps, all the teachers were crying and all the kids were crying, saying goodbye. And then we went out to the train station, and all the kids, they actually came out to this train station with us. And they paid a ticket to be able to come onto the platform. And it was one of those these old trains where you can actually open up the window and you can stick your head out. And so all the kids were there, and we're sticking our head out, and we're saying, "Bye, bye." And all the kids were there with tears in their eyes. And I remember seeing Annie, and she had tears in her eyes. And I remember her looking at me specifically, and she said, "Don't forget me." And in that moment, I remember I remember it felt like the Lord was saying to me in that moment. I don't have a lot of these types of moments, but it felt like the Lord was saying, listen carefully to what she's saying. And as I thought about it, it felt like there were two possible ideas that were coming out. It was almost as if she was saying, number one, don't forget me. Don't forget that we had such a wonderful time. And there was this love that was shared among the teachers and the students, and it was just such a wonderful time. Don't forget this event. Don't forget that this happened on this date. Don't forget this English camp that we had. But it was as if there was another deeper meaning behind it. And it was almost as if Annie was crying out to me saying, don't forget me. You may go back to your country and you may have a wonderful life. You may have your job and things might be so great for you. But don't forget that I'm still here and I don't know the Lord. Don't forget that if no one comes and shares with me, that my destination is still to go to hell. So don't forget me. And I never forgot. I didn't come to this side of the world to look for Annie specifically, per se. But my heart is, I want to look for all those people that may be like Annie. Those people that are crying out, I want to know the Lord. Who's going to come and share with me? Our God is a missionary God who is working to seek and save the lost. He is invested in this work. He has been invested in this work through all history. And he has saved us today and given us a glimpse of the hope that we have in this kingdom. So as we are blessed, let's be a blessing to the world by proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom until Jesus returns. Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. As I close up this sermon, I want to ask us to actually take a moment to respond. Usually we have a song playing, and actually maybe if the worship team can come up and just play the music in the background. Yeah, just play the background music. But I want to ask if every one of you can scan this QR code and take a moment to respond. And there's a number of questions in there. And, you know, I know that some of you guys are here for the, you know, you guys haven't been here for all of the sermons, but that's okay. Just even if it's based on today's sermon, that's okay. I want to ask everyone, if possible, to scan this QR code or just look up this link and fill out the survey. And I'll give you guys about 5 minutes to do so. It's pretty quick. And in the meantime, if the worship team, if you guys can...